And so I come to the closing discourse on the life of Elijah, the brief thoughts on this great prophet of God. And my title for this closing discourse includes the word epilogue. Think of the reactions when people hear that Elijah, shall we say, gone, dead. I can imagine the wicked kings rubbing their hands with glee. I can imagine the false prophets praising their God. Oh, we've heard the last of him. Well, he's gone now. I can imagine, I've seen it in the prophets, anxiety. What will we do now? And we've seen Elisha too. How will he cope? And yet he knows now he has God's Spirit. But I can see how there'd be grief and anxiety about the work of God on behalf of the godly, and I can see how the wicked would be rejoicing. But the truth is, although Elijah had gone into glory, his work on earth had not finished. If I can paraphrase the hymn of William Cowper, I'll change the order of the lines in the last verse. When this poor stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, then my voice then with a nobler song, I'll lisp, I'll speak, I'll cry aloud my Saviour's praise, and so on. Now, of course, Cowper is thinking of the intermediate or the glory state, but I'm using those words to speak of this life. For you see, my friend, although Elijah had gone, the world had not heard the last of that man. I have several texts for you. You see, Malachi 4, 5-6. He appears there, Elijah appears in the prophet Malachi. How? The prophecy of John the Baptist. He appears again in Matthew 11, 13-14, and Matthew 17, 10-12. Again, Christ saying, John the Baptist is Elijah, if you will hear it. He appears again in Matthew 17, verses 3-5 on the Transfiguration Mount. And he appears again in James chapter 5, verses 16-18. Let's put those things together. Now, I know Elijah is extraordinary. He is unique. I know that. But nevertheless, there is a principle here. You see, the world has not heard the last of Elijah, even though he's translated. He's used in prophecy to speak of the new covenant, the coming of John the Baptist, the great transition between the two covenants, the forerunner of the great Messiah. Christ says it. John the Baptist is Elijah, if you will hear it, if you will understand it. And then he appears with Christ and with Moses on the Transfiguration Mount. Remember, Peter says, let's make three tabernacles, three tents, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, equating the prophets, the law, and the Christ. And immediately a cloud comes over them and blocks them out, and only one is left, Christ. You see, the law gives way, the prophets give way to Christ. But who is the representative of the law? Moses, great Moses. And who is the representative of the prophets? Not Isaiah? No. Not Malachi? No. Not Jeremiah or Ezekiel? No. But Elijah. And then, of course, James 5, encouraging us to pray. A weak, feeble man like us was used mightily of God. He was an effective, righteous man in his praying and in his preaching and in his work. He lives on, you see. Now, that's extraordinary. But I can tell you in my own experience how this plays out. I can remember things that were said to me, maybe in passing, in a conversation. They were trying to help me. People, brothers and sisters, 60 years ago, they dropped a seed in there, and it germinated, and it's with me to this day. Well, my brothers and sisters, this is not just for my friends in the 60 years ago. It's the same for me, and it's the same for you. Things we have said, things we have written for Christ, they have a life, you know. They have a life that God gives it. I've forgotten who it was. It's either Lloyd-Jones, or it's Spurgeon, or it may be both of them. I think at various times they were down and in difficulties, and they heard a sermon, either preached by, I think they heard a sermon preached by someone else. It was their own sermon, and they heard it. But nevertheless, they were blessed by it. I could hear Spurgeon say it. And somebody said, what? Preaching your sermon? Yeah, he said, you can be blessed by your own children, can't you? Brought out of depression by hearing something that they had preached, being regurgitated by somebody else. So you see these texts in Malachi and Matthew and James, and it's not the only places, by the way. You'll find Elijah is mentioned in Romans 11. He's mentioned again in Luke 9. And I think there's other references to him and other allusions to him in the scriptures. You see, this man is still speaking. He's speaking now with a greater voice. Look at Paul. How many hundreds and thousands did he address in his day? How many has he addressed since? How many is he addressing even now as I speak? You see, they being dead, yet speak. Their works do follow them, you see. Can you see, my brother and sister, what I'm trying to say here? It's an encouragement to us, isn't it? Did you notice the full title? Epilogue. An encouragement. Yes, it is an encouragement. What I speak for Jesus. What I write for Jesus. What I do for Jesus. It's not lost in the wind. It may appear like that. But who knows? God may bring it back with life. In the book of Ecclesiastes, we're encouraged to sow our seed, literally gardening, if you like, at all times of the day, in all seasons. You never know. There is a time, yes, but you never know. Perhaps so in the early morning, perhaps in the late afternoon. Who knows? And it's the same with sowing the seed for Christ. You never know how it's going to work. Revelation 14, verse 13. These rest from their labors, yes. The time is coming, and I shall be there soon, resting from my labors. But their works do follow them. Their works do follow them. Martin Lloyd-Jones spoke of the romance of preaching. The romance of witnessing, I would say. What is that, then? Well, all may have failed until this moment. These discourses, they may have just been lost in the wind and done no good at all. But who knows, what I'm saying now may get into the heart and mind of some poor believer and will lift them again and encourage them and come back with usefulness and power in life long after I'm dead. This poor tongue lies silent in the grave, this stammering tongue. But then, in a nobler song, and maybe with a more powerful voice. He being dead yet speaks. Abel, that's what I'm after, you see. He being dead yet speaks. I want to encourage you, brother and sister, to go on to labor. And that takes me to Horatius Bonner. Go labor on, spend and be spent. Thy joy to do the Father's will. It is the way the Master went. Should not the servant tread it still? I've been speaking about Elijah, but it's the way Jesus went, too. Go labor on, 'tis not for naught. Thine earthly loss is heavenly gain. Men heed thee, love thee, praise thee not. The Master praises. What are men? Go labor on. Enough while here, if he shall praise thee. If he deign thy willing heart to mark and cheer, no toil for him shall be in vain. Did you hear that? That's lovely. Toil on, and in thy toil rejoice. For toil comes rest, for exile home. Soon thou shalt hear the bridegroom's voice, the midnight peal. Behold, I come. Horatius Bonner said that. How about James Montgomery? Sow in the morn thy seed, at eve hold not thy hand. To doubt and fear give thou no heed, broadcast it o'er the land. He's basing this on Ecclesiastes 11:6. You don't know which shall prosper, either this or that. Thou knowest not which may thrive, the late or early sown. Grace keeps the chosen germ alive, where and wherever strown. And duty shall appear in verdure, beauty, strength, the tender blade, the stalk, the ear, and the full corn at length. Thou canst not toil in vain, cold, heat, and moist and dry shall foster and mature the grain for garners in the sky. Then, when the glorious end, the day of God is come, the angel reapers shall descend and cry, heaven cry, harvest home. Epilogue. An encouragement. But you see, my friend, if there is to be an epilogue, there has to be a prologue. And there has to be the full log, wherever that is, too. In other words, you have to begin, and you have to go on, and you have to complete the work, and then God will see to the epilogue. So let me close with a word to every unbeliever listening to me. I have said some very strong things to you and about you in these discourses. But let me encourage you now. Will you not begin with Jesus now? Will you not start now? Will you not enlist in his army now? Will you not come to him and trust him as your Savior now? Begin to live with and by and for Jesus. Oh, begin the walk of faith now. Come to the Lord Jesus and be saved. And then, to every child of God listening to me, go on, my brother, go on, my sister, whether it's school or home, witnessing to a neighbor, a family, friend, in your retirement home, in things you write, in things you say, in things you do. Have you grown weary, tired, dispirited? Then begin again, for you do not know what God may use and what God may bless. This is the romance of it all, my friend. We do not know what will prosper. Epilogue. An encouragement. Oh, receive the encouragement, my brother, my sister. Receive the encouragement, unbeliever, and come to the Lord Jesus and begin even now. And let us, those of us who are in Christ, pick up again by God's Spirit and go on and labor for him, for no labor for him is in vain. Blessed be his name. Amen.